broadcasting life and truth around the world. You're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The mission of CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast is to teach discernment and to defend the essential doctrines of the historic Christian faith. Each day, Hank answers questions with a passion for apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering the cults. If you would like to ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. For more information about CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. To begin today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Again, the number to dial to get your questions answered today, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. We'll be taking your calls on the book by Joe Dallas, Speaking of Homosexuality, because he will be my guest, not only the entirety of this hour, but an hour following the broadcast as well. Speaking of Homosexuality, available for those who support the ministry, check it out on the web, equip.org. You can also write me, Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultant standing by, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. I love the subtitle of Joe's book, Discussing the Issues with Kindness and Clarity. We'll be doing that during the broadcast today. You know, we are in a very interesting point of history. Maybe interesting's the wrong word, but I think of Norway recently adding to a stampede of nations bordering the gender fluidity train, which is being championed by Team Hillary. Norwegians, as early as six, can now legally change their gender with nothing more than an online form. No longer do they need counseling or even medical approval. And you might well think that such a law would at best be approved by the slimmest of margins. Instead, it was adopted by a 79-13 vote in Parliament. Literally hundreds of Norwegians have already applied. And the Norwegian Association for Gender and Sexual Diversity is more than pleased that their lobby has successfully lowered the laws with respect to age limit from 7 to 6 years of age. They used to worry about the age 7. Now they don't have to worry about it. You can start as early as 6. Common sense alone ought to be sufficient to keep a 6-year-old from beginning hormone treatments that will likely damage them for life. Unfortunately, common sense does not prevail. And try saying you think all of this is absurd and you are immediately branded deplorable. Speaking of Homosexuality, again, available for those who support the ministry all this month. Check it out on the web at equip.org. Joe Dallas joins me on the broadcast. Hi, Joe.
How you doing, Hank?
What do you think about Norway?
Well, I've often said you should never say, now I've heard everything. Because you haven't. There will always be something more. And I think that what we have, you could only call a mounting madness. It goes beyond the question of whether or not it could ever be appropriate to allow children to decide that they simply wish to be a member of the opposite sex. There's a good argument you could have over that alone. But it really gets more to the broad issue of whether or not we have the capacity as humans to determine what is simply because we say it is. We're not just confusing genders, Hank. We are playing God. We are saying that we have the right to speak into existence what we wish to be in existence. And that, to me, doctrinally, spiritually, is really one of the most frightening parts of this trend.
Joe, you and I have been talking about this trend for over two decades. Could you really honestly imagine when we started talking about these things that we would be where we are right now in 2016?
Not on your life. No, Hank, when we started talking about this two decades ago, I did not foresee where we would be, and I did not foresee the speed at which we would be accelerating towards wherever I thought we would be at this time. So it's not just where we are for now that's alarming, but the really breathtaking speed at which we've gotten there.
Talk about the consequences of marriage redefinition. I think a lot of people have already become numb to this. It's no big deal. It's been around for a while. What's your problem? Talk about the implications.
Well, the proof of the success of redefinition, Hank, lies in the fact that when you compare the redefinition of marriage to the literal redefinition of biology according to subjectivity in the life of a child, same-sex marriage is looking kind of tame. I mean, it's already largely lost its shock value because we're no longer arguing about homosexuality. Now we're arguing about whether or not children can change sex and whether or not grown anatomical males should be allowed to walk right into the public restrooms designated for females. So I think that one of the obvious results of redefinition is it has opened the floodgates to even more extreme redefinitions. But this, again, Hank, is what it's the price a culture pays for social experimentation. We tried a social experiment back in the 70s with no-fault divorce, and all the experts seemed to say it's the humane thing to do. It's not nice to make people stay in marriages they're unhappy in. So let's redefine marriage as no longer being a permanent covenant. And nobody will be hurt. The kids will be fine. Now, three plus decades later, we're all kind of saying, oops. But, of course, that horse is out of the barn. Now we again engaged on a massive social experiment solidified last year, of course, by the Supreme Court's 2015 decision to greenlight the redefinition of marriage. We're already reaping a whirlwind, both in the floodgates of confusion opening about gender issues, because you'll notice right in the aftermath of the redefinition of marriage, when it was sanctioned by the Supreme Court, that is when we began these large public debates over transgender people, whether or not laws should compel the average citizen to recognize that if a person says he is a woman or she is a male, we must comply with their self-perception, and whether or not it's appropriate for children to be allowed that self-identification, and whether or not Christian organizations should have sanctions placed on them if they do not comply with this redefinition. So we have the one major consequence of social confusion, massive social confusion. We have the other consequence of a growing hostility towards the Bible-believing church, a hostility expressed in more and more government reach into the life of the church to dictate to Christian organizations and businesses how they may or may not define marriage and how they may or may not define something as basic as male versus female.
I want to ask you sort of a personal question, Joe. Your book came out this year. Would you conceive it even possible that this book could not be published next year or in a few years?
Oh, Hank, that's a distinct possibility. You see, if the public right now is being taught and largely convinced that those who hold a traditional view are bigots, and bigots must be silenced because they are destructive and they are dangerous. And so if the public can be convinced that it is bigotry to hold a traditional view, and then if lawmakers can be persuaded to pass laws against expressing such views, And if an appointed Supreme Court is largely in favor politically with the viewpoints of the more liberal party, what's to stop that kind of silencing? All you have to do is basically convince the public that it is hateful and dangerous to say you believe marriage is strictly a heterosexual union and that the sex you're born in is the sex you will always be. Convince the public that that is hurtful to people, and the public will basically say, okay, then silence those hateful people. And that is what we're facing as a church today, Hank. We really are.
Talk about your passion, because in many, many ways, this is a fight for the lives of real flesh and blood children. In other words, this is not just an academic debate for you. I mean, the lives of young children, as I said in the monologue, as young as six, are now on the altar of political correctness.
They are, and we basically are placing our strange sense of political correctness above, I believe, human life in general, both the lives of adults and children, Hank. First, there are the children who I believe will suffer because of the redefinition of marriage. As I cited in my book, studies show pretty consistently that children are most effectively raised by their own biological mother and biological father, and that there are certain parenting skills that a male-female team bring to the table, which two members of the same sex simply cannot bring by nature of their sameness. So that group of children, I believe, is being deprived. Children are being deprived of guidance, of what, well, at least of what I would call reasonable guidance. We recognize that children experience different mood states, different frames of mind. So it's not that odd that at a different time in a little girl's life, she may feel more like a boy than a girl, or even a boy at times feel more feminine than masculine. But to confirm them in that, at that time, when they have such a limited understanding of themselves and of the world, is to me akin to saying, okay, my little six-year-old boy, if you feel like ice cream for breakfast, you may have ice cream for breakfast. And if you feel like staying home from school, you may stay home from school. And if you feel like staying up all night, you may stay up all night. Because what you feel will dictate how you're treated and how you're complied with. And so I think we are generating confusion in children, and we are going to be introducing, I think, absolute chaos into the culture, because we are not only saying that people may redefine who they are, we are saying, Hank, that others must comply with that redefinition. It's not just that we're telling the man on the street, if you want to live as a woman, you can live as a woman. We are telling citizens, if that man says he's a woman, you must, in practice, agree with him. He must be able to use your women's room. You must, at the workplace, call him by the female name he wishes to be called. You must comply with his reidentification. So it's not only a confusing movement, it's a very coercive movement as well.
We're going to be talking about a whole lot more on today's broadcast. The book, Speaking of Homosexuality, written by Joe Dallas. I've said this before, but no one on the planet knows this subject better and speaks about it with more compassion. And that's why the subtitle, I think, is very, very important, discussing the issues with kindness and with clarity. This is a book that no Christian home can be without. It's absolutely critical that you have this book. The book is laid out in such a way that it's user-friendly. There are talking points at the end of every single chapter. This is an issue that impacts every single Christian life, every single church. This is a issue that is front and center in the social consciousness. And therefore, I urge you to get Speaking of Homosexuality. It's available for those who support the ministry. Check it out on the web at equip.org. Can't help but think about the bipolar nature, as it were, of so many people who live in an age of materialism. They believe that everything is a function of molecules in motion, that everything can be accounted for by biology apart from metaphysics. And yet, the irony is that in that kind of an age, we would be saying that your gender is not tied to your biology. It is simply tied to your feelings, and your feelings can change, and when your feelings change, your gender can change with your feelings. The book, Speaking of Homosexuality, check it out on the web at equip.org. You can also talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Be right back with Joe Dallas, so please don't touch that dial.
Gay-affirming interpretations of the Bible promoted by revisionist Christians, whether heterosexual or openly gay, challenge long-standing Orthodox beliefs about the sinfulness of homosexuality. According to revisionists, the authority of the Bible is not changed, but its message on homosexuality has been mistranslated or misinterpreted. In his book, Speaking of Homosexuality, Discussing the Issues with Kindness and Clarity, Joe Dallas addresses the gay Christian phenomenon and its revisionism with the careful attention it requires. To receive your copy of Speaking of Homosexuality as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a donation to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or donate online at equip.org. We'll be back with more in a moment from Hank Hanegraaff. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. In today's culture, it seems that if you're a liberal, anything you say is protected. But if you're a conservative, anything you say is hateful. At the heart of this cultural divide is the issue of homosexuality and the increasing demands of the gay rights movement. The gay rights movement has evolved from a plea for tolerance to a demand for not only approval, but retribution. In his books, Speaking of Homosexuality and When Homosexuality Hits Home, author, speaker, and counselor Joe Dallas brings his wisdom and experience to these sensitive issues in a deep and eminently practical way. To receive either Speaking of Homosexuality or When Homosexuality Hits Home as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit us at equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. The Black Hebrew Israelite movement has infiltrated black communities on the basis of two principal claims. First, all African Americans biologically descend from the ancient Hebrews. And second, the means of salvation for African Americans is obedience to the law of Moses. Their worldview, however, has no foundation in history or scripture. Other topics include doubt as virtue, how to doubt and have faith without exploding, Francis Schaeffer, pastor, evangelist, apologist, prophet, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org.
a family member or friend says, "I'm gay," it can be very difficult to hear, but also difficult for the same-sex attracted person to utter. In these heartbreaking situations, having the right response is crucial. Few can navigate these troubled waters like Joe Dallas. In his book, When Homosexuality Hits Home, What to Do When a Loved One Says, "I'm Gay," Joe offers experience and compassionate counsel for those whose loved ones struggle with homosexual desire. Receive your copy of When Homosexuality Hits Home as our thank you for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a donation to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org. Let's return now to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. And as you were speaking, I was just thinking about the full range of books written by Joe Dallas that you can find on the web at equip.org. I'm talking to Joe about his latest book, speaking of homosexuality, discussing the issues with kindness and clarity. And I was thinking, Joe, during the break, that many of the things that I say on the Bible Answer Man broadcast are thought to be far too controversial in Canada, and therefore they're blocked. I can't talk about these things in England. There are major radio stations there that desperately want the broadcast, but only if I will curtail my speaking and eliminate some of these issues.
Well, I'm afraid we're going to be seeing more of this, Hank. You know, a lot of people say that Christians will be persecuted just because we claim to be Christians. I don't think it's that simple. If you claim to believe in Jesus Christ, and that's the extent of your doctrinal clarity, I think you'll get along just fine in this culture. But if you hold to Christian distinctives about the nature of God, the exclusivity of Christ as the only way to God, the existence of hell, the fallen nature of humanity, and the definition of the family, those are the Christian distinctives that will get you in trouble. So I don't believe it's just those who identify as believers who will suffer from censoring and silencing and lawsuits and any number of punitive measures. It'll be those of us who hold to these distinctives. It's the distinctives that'll get you in trouble.
There are those that would say, Joe, that Jesus never mentioned homosexuality, and yet you read a whole book on it. What gives?
Yes, well, I have often responded to that by first pointing out that Jesus did, in Matthew 19, reiterate the Creator's original intention for the sexual and marital union when he said, "Don't you know that he who created them from the beginning created them male and female? For this cause a man shall leave his father, cleave to his wife, the two will become one flesh. What God's joined together, let no one set asunder." Now, we have chipped away at that definition, haven't we, for decades. It was a union defined as permanent. What God has joined together, let no one set asunder. That's been chipped away at. It's been defined as monogamous. They will become one flesh, an independent unit. That's been chipped away at. We saw in the 70s the swingers movement that introduced polygamy as a lifestyle. And now we're chipping away at the male-female definition of it. However, Hank, besides all of that, I should point out that while we don't know for sure that in his earthly ministry Jesus did not mention homosexuality, after all, the Gospels don't record everything he said, so he very well could have publicly commented on it, and we don't have a record of it. But it's significant to me, if he did not mention it, that that alone is a very powerful argument against it, because he knew he was speaking largely to multitudes of people who held to the law of Moses. And Jesus was nothing if not a radical when it came to overturning people's misconceptions. If they had misconceptions about the law or misconceptions about life, he very plainly would challenge those misconceptions. Now, he had a perfect opportunity when he spoke, if he approved of homosexuality, to challenge the misconception that homosexuality was a sin. He could simply have said, "You have heard it said, thou shalt not lie with a man as with a woman. It's an abomination. But I say unto you that two men who love each other deeply can form a union, and it's a marriage." He had ample opportunity to say that. And being God, he surely knew for how many centuries people would misinterpret the Bible into thinking that homosexuality was a sin, if indeed it was not. And so he would have had that opportunity to correct that misconception if it was a misconception. Why didn't he? Because, of course, it was not a misconception. If he was silent on the subject, his silence confirmed the traditional position.
Talk about the word homophobia. I mean, I hear this word bandied about more and more, particularly in political discussions and debates. What is homophobia? And is that a word that is meant to be a conversation stopper, or is that really an appropriate word to use?
Oh, it's a conversation stopper. It's like the word racist, sexist, bigot. If you can slap a label like that onto someone and associate a lot of shame with it, then that will silence the person because the person loses credibility. Homo means same. Phobia, means an aversion or a fear, an irrational dread of an object or a thing. Linguistically, that doesn't make sense when you combine them, because that means literally fear or dread of the same. What it's meant to imply is that if you object to homosexuality, you have a phobic response to homosexual people. And if I'm speaking with someone who is homosexual and they say I'm homophobic, I point out, my gosh, when you have a phobic response to something, you break out into a sweat, your breathing gets short, you have a literal physical reaction to that, like an arachnophobe would have if a spider was around, you know, or a claustrophobe in a close space. And I say, you know, I'm sitting right here talking to you, we're face to face, I'm having no reaction, how could I be having a phobic response to you? It implies that you cannot simply have a conviction based on a worldview. It implies that if you have the belief that homosexuality is wrong, that cannot be a reasoned, thought-out belief based on worldview. It must be a knee-jerk prejudice. In fact, Hank, oftentimes you hear today when people argue for religious liberty, others will argue, oh, you're just a bigot trying to hide behind the cloak of religious liberty. So we are basically, as a culture, saying that anyone who holds a biblically based worldview about sexuality cannot really intelligently hold that worldview. It must be prejudice disguised as religious belief.
I've got a lot of people that want to talk to you, Joe. I have a lot of questions I want to ask you as well, but in all fairness, let's go to the phone lines. Paul, you're on with Joe Dallas. Paul is listening in King, North Carolina. Hi, Paul.
Hey there, Hank.
You're on with Joe.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Well, I appreciate your ministry, and I was just calling to try to get some advice, I guess. I work for a healthcare company, and we have a policy, I guess, there to be as diverse as possible. There's different diversity groups that are listed by my employer. One of the groups is, to be gender diverse, as well as lesbian, gay, diverse as well. So I just struggle a lot with that, working for a company who that feels that way. And I'm just looking for some advice on, you know, what can I do to be an employee there but still stand up for what I believe in.
Sure. Paul, can you tell us a little more of what the company is requiring of you along these lines?
Well, nothing out of the ordinary, I don't guess. They're not requiring me to treat anyone any differently than another, so to speak. So I guess in some ways they've been smart in how they kind of worded their policies. They try to also give some credit to other religions and religious groups, and just try to be in this. So it's all lumped into this diversity. So they haven't really done anything out of the ordinary that's probably unlawful, because they've covered themselves very well. But I just don't know how to how I can make an impact. It's like I'd like to maybe start my own diversity group for people who are Christians, because I feel like I'm becoming a minority. So I don't know if you have any advice or have any direction for me.
Yes, Paul, many believers are finding themselves in a position where they feel corporate pressure to either alter or muzzle their beliefs. I think, though, of what Paul told the Ephesians, walk in wisdom towards those who are on the outside. I think all of us who work in the secular marketplace have to prayerfully decide whether we should simply quietly be about our business. We have families to support. We have a job to do. And if we work for companies that hold certain positions or support certain things, we may not feel that conscience demands us to do anything. Or we may feel we want to initiate something. That's like what you were proposing earlier. You might want to initiate respectfully and within the system, speaking to management and saying, I recognize we are a diverse company, and part of that diversity is made up of people who are Bible-believing Christians and hold a traditional view of gender and marriage. Could we have some representation in this diverse landscape that we have here? And that is, that's basically an initiation. You want to make sure that your job would be secure and that you're in a position you feel you could responsibly do that. In more extreme cases, an employee may feel the need to resist, not just to initiate. Now, just for example, just last week, an employee of a large corporation found that the company was telling everyone that they should sign up as an ally for lesbian and gay and transgender rights. They had a company policy that they wanted to celebrate the diversity of human sexuality, and they were encouraging employees to have a button they would wear identifying themselves as an ally to lesbians and gays and transgenders. And this employee felt that he was being asked to, in essence, approve of something he couldn't approve of. In a case like that, you resist. So our prayers are with you. I think you have to make a decision whether you want to initiate or resist.
And blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Talking to Joe Dallas, the book Speaking of Homosexuality, discussing the issues with kindness and clarity. Get your copy for your support on the web at equip.org, or simply write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or just talk to one of our resource consultants via the phone, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. And don't forget, you can talk directly to Joe, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. He's going to be here with me the next segment and for an hour once we go off the air as well. We'll be right back.
Not long ago, the gay rights movement was asking that homosexual people be treated fairly and with respect. But today, mere legitimization is not enough. The gay rights movement now demands, with all the subtlety of a socialist purge, the punishment of anyone objecting to that legitimization. The new book, Speaking of Homosexuality, Discussing the Issues with Kindness and Clarity by Joe Dallas, equips readers to respond to this volatile issue with reason and compassion. To receive your copy of Speaking of Homosexuality as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a donation to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or donate online at equip.org. Stay with us. Hank will be back right after this.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. An experience of intellectual doubt is often taken by Christians to be a sign of weak faith. When treated properly, however, an encounter with doubt is extremely valuable, since it can lead to more knowledge and an even greater faith. Other topics include the origin and insufficiency of the Black Hebrew Israelite movement, philosophy, politics, and the end of liberal arts education, social movements and God's kingdom, which cause matters most, Jephthah's bloodless sacrifice, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Like a tiny acorn that grows into a massive oak tree, the seeds of the sexual revolution planted in the 1960s have produced a harvest of immorality beyond imagination. Today's pervasive acceptance of homosexuality was inconceivable only a generation ago, and the dizzying pace at which sexual mores have collapsed often leaves Bible-believing Christians at a loss. The books Speaking of Homosexuality and When Homosexuality Hits Home by Joe Dallas will help you engage the culture in a transformative way for Christ. To receive either Speaking of Homosexuality or When Homosexuality Hits Home as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go, on your phone or handheld device, with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day, or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. Few, if any, could have predicted it, yet the moral fabric of our culture is radically changing. What is now increasingly mainstream is a pervasive acceptance of homosexuality that was inconceivable a mere generation ago. And because of the dizzying speed of change, many Christians are ill-prepared to deal with the implications. Joe Dallas offers an informed and caring response in his book, Speaking of Homosexuality, Discussing the Issues with Kindness and Clarity. Receive your copy of Speaking of Homosexuality as our thank you for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a donation to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or go online to equip.org. Once again, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Roger Randy. We're taking calls for Joe Dallas. The subject, Speaking of Homosexuality, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. My endorsement of the book on the cover, I said that I've often said that no one understands the subject of same sexuality better than Joe Dallas. And this book, his best yet, only confirms my conviction. I'm not speaking merely of Joe's formidable knowledge of truth, but also the wisdom of its application through crystal clear and concise communication. In the wake of the June 2015 U.S. Supreme Court's redefinition of marriage, hard to believe that that's just a year ago, Speaking of Homosexuality will equip you to engage a topic that is foundational to human civilization. The book available for those who support the ministry. Check it out on the web, equip.org, or talk to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Joe, one of the issues here is that this is not just a phenomenon in the culture, but it's a phenomenon in the church. You think about megachurch pastor Ryan Meeks, who says, gay or straight here, there's no hate here, and goes on along with many Christian pastors to redefine Sodom's sin, revise Romans. So this is not just a cultural problem. It seems to be a distinctly Christian problem as well.
It is, Hank, and it speaks to how we interpret the scripture and how we approach truth, because in so many cases, when you read the explanations of men and women who used to hold a traditional view on homosexuality, same-sex marriage, sex change, and so forth, they will say that what changed their minds was not just a rigorous study of the scripture in its original languages and a revisiting of its context, but the fact that they got to know so many wonderful lesbian and gay and transgender people, and because they got to know them and found them to be such wonderful people, that changed their mind on the issue. And of course, I would argue that if wonderfulness made you right, then absolutely the lesbian women, the gay men I have known would be some of the rightest people in the world, because some of the most intelligent, likable, creative and interesting people I have met were also openly lesbian or openly homosexual. When I was a part of the gay community, I was friends with people who were, by any definition of the word, wonderful people, very likable. But of course, you can be wonderful and wrong, and you can be right and be an absolute jerk. And any biblically based worldview will recognize that the likableness of the individual does not determine what is morally right or morally wrong. And so I'm not just concerned with the conclusions that these pastors and leaders have reached. I'm concerned about the way they reached these conclusions, because it seems as though we've introduced a whole new way at arriving at truth. If somebody is a terrific person who you can like and respect, then what they are doing must be right. I find that a very strange ethic, certainly not a biblical one.
You know, you mentioned the word truth, and truth has become largely a cultural construct. Talk about the significance of total truth or transformational truth.
Well, truth is, first of all, and I that sounds like such a silly, obvious statement, but I'm not sure it is obvious these days. There is such a thing as absolute truth. Furthermore, everyone believes in absolute truth, whether they admit it or not. We all believe that some things are fundamentally and unalterably true. Now, how we reach our conclusion as to what is true, well, that will vary among different people. But you cannot believe in a creator who had specific intentions for his creation without believing that those intentions are unalterable, and therefore what the creator has determined to be true must be true. Nor can you take a high view of the scripture, as many pro-gay theologians say they do, and not agree that in scripture we find verifiable expressions of what is true and what God commends for his people. And you cannot take an objective look at the Bible without seeing that it praises only one form of sexual expression, and that is sexual expression within the safety of the covenant of a heterosexual union that is permanent and monogamous. And anything falling short of that is a sin. Those are all statements of fact based on the concept of truth as derived from the Bible as an inspired communication from the Creator. And I think that if we take away from anyone the right to be certain based on unalterable truth, then we really are introducing a kind of chaos. And Hank, as I said before, the people who are the most antagonistic to the traditional view, they certainly believe in truth as well. Whether they admit it or not, they believe in an absolute truth. They are, if you put it that way, very fundamentalist in their approach and very aggressive in promoting it and in dismissing and even silencing those who disagree with them.
Talking to Joe Dallas, his book, Speaking of Homosexuality, discussing the issues with kindness and clarity. And the book available for those who support the ministry. Check it out on the web at equip.org. Also taking your calls for Joe Dallas. He's going to be with me for an hour once we sign off the broadcast today. So you can keep calling 888-ASK-HANK now and for the next hour, numerically 888-275-4265. Let's go right to the phone lines. Talk to John in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, listening on Sirius XM 131. John, you're on with Joe.
Yes, Hank and Joe. Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. It was the woman Eve who was completely fooled in sin, but women will be saved by having children if they stay faithful, loving, holy, and modest. Joe, do you think women in the feminist movement have caused a spike in homosexuality? Because we now have women who don't know their role, and we have men who don't know their role. So this confusion, could it be the biggest cause for this?
Well, I certainly think feminism has traditionally celebrated homosexuality. It has celebrated a deconstruction of the traditional definition of the family. In all fairness, I think that there is a place for challenging gender stereotypes. There have been gender stereotypes about boys, for example, that have pressured all boys to be very physically aggressive, great athletes, very tough guys. And boys who did not fit that mold were often made to feel inferior. And that is not a biblical approach to the definition of male and female. And likewise, girls who were not like little Barbie dolls, who might have been very good athletes, you know, and very intelligent and good leaders in their own right, why they were often made to feel like there was something wrong with them because they were not just silent little cuties. So I think there is a place for recognizing that we can overdo gender stereotypes and try to box people into them. But I do agree with you that when we dismantled the idea of a binary approach to sex, that there is male and female, masculine and feminine, and that is good, because that is part of what God looked on when he looked on all his creation and said, that's good. And I think by dismantling that, that certainly has spiked the acceptance of homosexuality, no question, and that in turn has spiked the acceptance of transgenderism, and that in turn, I think, will spike the acceptance of who knows what. I mean, I think that the more you chip away at the objective standard, the more you pretty much guarantee a sort of free fall into chaos.
Just a quick answer, Joe, on this whole issue of judging. A lot of people will say, Jesus taught us not to judge. Here you go again, Joe. You're judging.
And, of course, I would say, Hank, show me anybody who doesn't judge, and I'll show you somebody who's not breathing. Clearly, Jesus did not say exclusively, never make a judgment call. Otherwise, he would have contradicted himself when he later said, if your brother sins against you, rebuke him. Well, now hold it. You can't determine whether or not your brother has sinned against you without making a judgment call. So, clearly, we are called to make judgments. In fact, Paul was very put out with the Corinthian church because they weren't making judgments. They were suing each other in secular court rather than settling their disputes. And he said very plainly, isn't there a wise person among you who can judge? So plainly, we are called to judge between what is right or wrong. What I cannot do is judge what I do not have the capacity to know and what I do not have the right to determine. I cannot know another person's heart. I cannot know another person's motive. I don't have the right to say that one person is of more value than another. And so that, of course, I will not judge. But Jesus qualified what he was saying pretty plainly when he said, by the measure you judge, you will be judged. Well, that's fair enough. In other words, if I judge right or wrong, including the rightness or wrongness of others' behavior by the Scripture, then they have every right to judge the rightness or wrongness of my behavior by the Scripture. Now, if I am holier than thou, and I humiliate and demean those who I don't feel are living up to my standards, then I, in turn, if I slip even a little, will be demeaned and humiliated by people who will come down hard on me. So it certainly is true that the measure of judgment you use can and will be used on you as well. But that my feeling is, so be it. We are meant to judge things according to Scripture, and we should be judged according to Scripture as well.
Joe Dallas is going to remain with me for an extra hour once we go off the air. You can continue calling in, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. And the book, Speaking of Homosexuality, available for those who support the ministry. Check it out on the web, equip.org. The quote of the day, I believe that marriage is the union between a man and a woman. Now, for me as a Christian, it is also a sacred union. God's in the mix. That quote from Barack Obama. My, how things have changed. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and live Christianly. Today, the gay rights movement is no longer content with mere tolerance, but rather demands wholehearted affirmation or punishment for those who don't comply. Responding to this totalitarian agenda with gentleness requires an informed and caring approach. That's why Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you Speaking of Homosexuality, Discussing the Issues with Kindness and Clarity by Joe Dallas, as our thanks for your gift of support in the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. Just call 888-7000-CRI or write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. Or donate online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. The Black Hebrew Israelite movement has infiltrated black communities on the basis of two principal claims. First, all African Americans biologically descend from the ancient Hebrews. And second, the means of salvation for African Americans is obedience to the law of Moses. Their worldview, however, has no foundation in history or scripture. Other topics include doubt as virtue, how to doubt and have faith without exploding, Francis Schaeffer, pastor, evangelist, apologist, prophet, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. In today's culture, it seems that if you're a liberal, anything you say is protected. But if you're a conservative, anything you say is hateful. At the heart of this cultural divide is the issue of homosexuality and the increasing demands of the gay rights movement. The gay rights movement has evolved from a plea for tolerance to a demand for not only approval, but retribution. In his books, Speaking of Homosexuality and When Homosexuality Hits Home, author, speaker, and counselor Joe Dallas brings his wisdom and experience to these sensitive issues in a deep and eminently practical way. To receive either Speaking of Homosexuality or When Homosexuality Hits Home as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI.
and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit us at equip.org.